Thank you for choosing the podcast of East Haven Baptist Church in Brookhaven, Mississippi. For more information on the ministries of East Haven and to access videos and sermon notes from our services, visit www.easthaven.net.
Father, we recognize that you are the God of new beginnings. Just as this year church will have a new beginning with a new pastor, we're grateful. Father, you're also the God of life and health. And we pray for this one right now with the asthma attack. We pray that you will be merciful and that air will be delivered to the lungs and that health will be restored. Father, as we worship you this day, we pray that we will recognize that all of us need your help and your giving to us. Father, we pray that you will use us. Father, we pray that we will be accepting of your Son, Jesus Christ, as the light of our life. We pray, Father, that we will be willing to walk in this light. And Father, we pray that you will allow us the opportunity to share this light. Father, again, we pray for this one who is sick, just as we pray for each of ourselves who are sick because of the sin that has been in our lives. We're grateful for your health that you give and that your life, the life that you give, curing us of our sin. Now we pray that you will lead us as we study together, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning comes from 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. And it is indeed wonderful to be back with you on this exciting day in the life of this church. This is like New Year's Day. This is like beginning a new book. This is the opportunity to do what God has set before you as a church. And I believe that the way that we're to do that is by sharing the light of Christ. But we cannot share that light if that light does not live within us. So this morning our challenge will be three. One, we must accept the light. If there's one here who does not know Christ as Savior, you cannot walk in the light if you have not accepted the light. The light that Christ brings to our life as he has paid for our sin by his death. And he has covered our sin so it cannot be seen by the Father. And then we must share the light because we're commanded to do so. And we must indeed walk in the light, being what Christ would have us be each day. This is not only an opportunity for this church as a congregation, but it is an opportunity for us as individuals. We'll begin in verse 5 of 1 John chapter 1. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us in giving us the light of your Son, Jesus, and for his purification for us from all sin if we but believe and reach out and touch him. Father, help us to walk in the light so that we will not be an embarrassment to you, to your Son, to this church, or to ourselves. May we be who you would have us to be. Father, may we be willing to share the light that none may perish. Now we pray that you'll speak to us as our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we were studying in Mark chapter 5 about the man who was healed and how Jesus healed this man who was demon-possessed and how the man did not feel comfortable where he was and how Jesus commanded him to stay where he was and share with others what Jesus had done for him. If we were to continue to read in Mark chapter 5, going toward the end of the chapter, we see that Jesus, once he had gotten back into his boat, went back across the sea. And the scripture tells us that when he came back ashore on the other side, there were people there waiting for Jesus. People were waiting for him by the shoreline. Perhaps there had been those who had come from the Gadarene. They had either come by boat or they had walked around the sea. And they had told others, Jesus healed a man who had been demon-possessed. Jesus has healed. And perhaps this throng of people were coming to meet this Jesus. Or perhaps they were coming to see the show. They wanted to see Jesus heal. They couldn't tell when Jesus was going to heal someone. So if they came and they followed him, they could see him heal. There evidently was a large crowd, and the crowd was gathered around. And as Jesus was disembarking from the boat, there came a man that everyone knew. His name was Jairus. He was a nobleman. He was well respected at the synagogue. He was well respected in the city and with God's people. As Jairus comes toward Jesus, the crowd parts, because this is a special man. The crowd parts and Jairus comes to Jesus. And as he comes to Jesus, he said, Master, teacher, come with me because my daughter, who we later learn was 12 years old, my daughter who's 12 years old is laying at the point of death. If you come, I know that she can be healed. And Jesus bid Jairus to take him to his house. Jairus begins to lead the way, and in the crowd you can hear murmuring. Now that's a word used in the Bible. We don't hear the word murmuring very much now, but it's soft talk one with another. They begin to murmur. They begin to talk to each other. Now we're going to get to see Jesus heal Jairus' daughter. And the scripture tells us that the crowd is packed tightly. People are all around Jesus. And as they walk through the streets of the city, I can just see this parade of people. And we have to understand where this is. It's not our modern day streets and cities. It's not anything like you would see in downtown Brookhaven. The streets are very narrow. There were no cars, of course. So there was no need for wide streets. The streets were narrow, so this compressed the crowd even more around Jesus. And as they were going along, I can just hear the people in the crowd saying to the people who are coming out of their homes or sticking their head out of the windows saying, what's going on? Jesus is about to heal Jairus' daughter. Come on and follow us. And the crowd pressed tighter. They're going along the way toward Jairus' house, and I'm thinking they're walking pretty quickly because Jairus wants to get to his home. But then Jesus stops. With the crowd pressing all around, Jesus says, who touched me? Who touched me? And then the crowd begins to back off. They back away. No, it's not me. One of the disciples says to Jesus, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? The crowd is pressing all around you. What do you mean who touched you? But then there was one. She was kneeling down at Jesus' feet. And she said, it was me. I touched you. You see that I have been found with a disease, a bleeding that no one can stop. I've been to doctors. They couldn't help. In fact, it even got worse. This has been going on for 12 years. And I thought to myself, if I reached out and just touched the hem of his garment, I could be healed. And I touched the hem of your garment, and I was healed. You see, this woman was desperate. Jairus was desperate. And a few moments later, Jesus healed his daughter. Jairus came because he was desperate. The woman reached out to the hem of his garment because she was desperate. If you don't know Jesus, you should be desperate. Desperate to reach out for the hem of the garment. Let's look at this woman just for a moment. She'd tried everything. Maybe you have tried everything. She was still desperate. And if you've tried everything but Jesus, you're still desperate too. The woman was in the crowd. This is a crowd. It did not do her any good to be in the crowd. Now think about this. It did not do her any good to be in that crowd of people until she, by faith, reached out to Jesus. How do we know that? Because Jesus said it. In the 5th chapter of Mark, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you whole." If you're desperate and you reach out to Christ, your faith will make you whole. You cannot walk in the light, as we read in 1 John, the first chapter. You cannot walk in the light unless you accept the light. Her faith in Jesus made her whole. Today, your faith in Christ will make you whole. It's not enough to be in the crowd. You must reach out in faith. The reason Jesus knew he had been touched by someone who was reaching out in faith, Scripture tells us that he felt the power go out from him when she was healed. Now, this is something we need to understand. When we come to Christ, it cost him something. He died for us. Now, let's make it more personal. He died for me. He died for you. Now, whether you accept him or not, he died for you. It cost him something. And it's already paid. It's like someone has given you a gift card to a nice restaurant. It is a gift. It has been paid for. But if you don't use it, you don't get the benefit. Christ has died for you, specifically you. And if you're not willing to let go of your sin and come to him in faith, you cannot receive the light that he brings to your life. We must accept the light. Number two, we must walk in the light. We must walk in the light. In Luke chapter 24, there's an encounter by some people who are dejected. We always seem to think there are two people. They were talking with each other. There may have been more than two. But it was right after Jesus was crucified. And there are two men who are about to walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles. They're about to walk to Emmaus, and they see a stranger. The stranger says to them, "Why are you so dejected? Why are you down?" He said, "You must be the only person in this part of the world that doesn't know that our teacher, our leader, our Jesus has been crucified." The stranger said to the men, "Did he not say that he would arise again? Did he not say he would live again?" And they began a dialogue, and they talked for 7 miles while they were walking. And the men were amazed at what this stranger knew. And they came to the time where they were about to part ways, and they sat down and began to have a meal together before they departed. And the stranger took bread and he broke it. And immediately the men knew that it was Jesus who was with them. Scripture tells us that they wanted to be there with Jesus. They wanted him to stay where they were. But that didn't happen. Jesus departed from them. And immediately these men got up and they walked back to Jerusalem so they could tell the disciples that they had seen Jesus. They wanted Jesus, the men did, to stay where they were. But Jesus moved, and they moved. Now, what does that say to us today, 2,000 years later? That Jesus doesn't stand still. He moves. And if we're going to be in His light, if we're going to walk in the light, we can't be satisfied to be where we are. We must move forward. This is a time when you can take stock. A wonderful church that's a light to this community will be calling a new pastor. It's not time to stand still. It's time to walk in the light. And Jesus is not going to be stagnant in your life or in the life of this church. He is going to move forward. Just as when Jesus departed, these men got up and they moved, so it should be with us. Jesus is going to move forward. He's going to light the way and show us the way. And if we're going to walk in the light, we must follow Him. There was a man who had the same job for many years. He was, I guess, a very fortunate man. In the fact that every day when he went to work in the Alps. He ran a little shop that was halfway up a mountain. Each day there would be guides that would come to the valley below, and they would have people who would want to climb one of the smaller peaks of the Alps. And the guides would take the people, and he would bring them up the mountain to the halfway house. He'd say, "Rest a while, get some coffee, warm up a bit, and then we'll go to the top of the mountain." Well, the man who ran this halfway house wrote a little story about people who stayed behind. He said, not every day, but some days there would be people who had come from the valley with the guide, and they made it to the halfway house. And when the guide pronounced it was time to go to the top of the mountain, they said, "No. No. I've gone far enough. I'm going to stay here." And the guide would leave and the others would follow. That person would stay behind. As that person would stay behind, the person writing the story that worked there, that ran the halfway house, said, they would become restless. And they would pace around that halfway house. They would look at everything that was there, and they would look down to the valley from where they'd come, and they'd look up to the mountain where the others were going. And he would watch them. Invariably, the writer said, when the group got to the top of the mountain, every person who had ever stayed behind looked, saw the others at the top of the mountain, and they were crestfallen. Their chin would just drop. Because they knew one thing right then. If they had followed the guide, they would now be at the top of the mountain. A new page turning, Jesus moving ahead with his church and with us individually. Are we going to stay in the halfway house? Or are we going to follow the guide who will take us to the top of the mountain? I'm not talking about your new pastor. He's on that journey too right now. I'm talking about Christ leading us. Are we going to walk in the light that he's providing for us? That is a personal question, and it's also a congregational question. Am I willing to accept the light? Am I going to walk in the light? The third and final point, am I going to share the light? Matthew chapter 28, we know it very clearly. From the time we were young, we heard about Jesus talking to his disciples. He says to them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I am with you always. I picture this on a beautiful mountainside, but also I picture it in a great auditorium of time. And his disciples were sitting right there on the front row of that auditorium of time. And those words came past their ears. Go, teach, baptize. And they did. How do we know they did? Well, we have a record of it here. But we know they did because we're here. They shared the message of Christ, the light that Christ brought to this world. They shared it. And it came past them to the next generation, and they shared it, and the next, and they all shared it, or we would not have heard about it. So somewhere in that great auditorium of time, we sit, maybe in the middle. Maybe we're close to the back of that great auditorium of time, but we sit there. It's not my words that are coming past your ears. It's the words that Jesus spoke to the disciples. In that great auditorium of time, those words come past our ears. Go, teach, baptize. And Jesus said, I will be with you always. And he will. If there's anyone here who's not accepted Christ as the light of their life, all of us are praying for you that you will come to know Christ as Savior and have that light living in you, turning away from your sin and turning to Jesus. Our prayer for all of us is that we will walk in the light, that we will not be complacent, that we will not be satisfied where we are, but we want to be more of what Christ would have us to be. That we will walk in the light each day, not staying here, but moving forward. And then we pray that we will have the strength to share the light so that others will know. As this new page is turned at East Haven Baptist Church, this is the opportunity to accept the light, to truly walk in the light, to be what Christ would have us to be. And it's the opportunity to share the light. My prayer for you is that each of these will be done. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your love for us in coming to bring your light to this world. We thank you that you have died for us and been resurrected for us, and that you've paid for our sins already. Father, help us to understand our desperation. Father, if there's one who's not yet accepted Christ, may they come now and put their faith and their trust in him to give them the light of life. Father, for those of us who already know Christ as Savior, forgive us for being slothful. Forgive us for not moving ahead where you would have us to be. May we be willing to move to where you would have us to move, to be what you would have us to be spiritually, so we can better serve you here. We thank you for this new opportunity to start that walk in the light. Father, help us to have the strength to share the light. We think we live in the Bible Belt, but there's so many here that don't know Jesus. Give us the strength to share his light. Now, Father, we pray most of all that your will be done in our lives. Is our prayer in Jesus' name, our light. Amen.